الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Time we spoke about yesterday is a precious blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When something is precious, you calculate it in the lowest scale of weight possible. Diamonds are precious, so they're not weighed in kgs. They're weighed in carats. Gold is precious. It's not weighed in pounds. Anything which is precious, it's weighed in its most minute scale. Things that are not precious are scaled in a ton, kgs, like a ton of garbage, a ton of cattle feed, a ton of scrap paper, a ton of scrap metal. When something is precious, we scale it in the smallest scale possible. There's nothing more precious than time. Yet we scale it in the higher scale of things. If someone asks you how old you will say 5 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, 35 years old, 37 years old, 50 years old. You're calculating time in years. Years is not the smallest portion of scale when it comes to time. As we mentioned, time is precious, so it should be scaled in the lowest portion. The lowest portion of scale for time is seconds. So actually, we should have been calculating our lives not in years, but in seconds. Now, if somebody was to ask you how many seconds you have lived in this world, try to use a calculator when you go home and see how many seconds you have lived. 365 days in a year, each day being 24 hours, each hour having 60 minutes, each minute having 60 seconds. So when we try to make our plans, we are calculating them in the higher form of scales. Instead, we should be calculating in the seconds. When you do not have the worth of time, you do not have the worth of the biggest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. And don't take it lightly. Don't take that, okay, it's only a day. No, it's not just a day. It's 24 hours, each hour being 60 minutes, and in each minute being 60 seconds. Scale your life on seconds. Don't scale your life on years. For someone who is immortal, do you think that 60 or 70 years compared to immortality is a long time? Do you think that it is a long time? When you have one scale is immortality, on the other you have 60 or 70 years. Is that a long time, 60 or 70 years, compared to mortality? It's not. Are you mortal or are you immortal? The question is, are you mortal or immortal?
Immortal.
If you were to say mortal, the meaning of that is that you're going to die. When you say immortal, it means that you don't die. Every single one of us is actually immortal. It's not mortal. We never die. We've never have and we will never die. We are immortal beings, we're going to live forever. What happens is that we get transferred into one state of mind into the other. So, when we came into this world, we got transferred from one state of mind, which was the womb of our mother, into this world, which is another state of mind. And once Hazrat Malakul Maut alayhi salatu wasalam comes, we will be transferred into another state of mind. After Barzakh, we'll be transferred into another state of mind. After that, we will be transferred into another state of mind, till to the point where we will be transferred into a place called heaven or hell. Yani, we have thought of ourselves as mortals even though we have forgotten that we are immortal. When you consider yourself immortal, the whole world changes around you. And one of the biggest benefit that you get out of that is that you're not scared of death. And most of the issues and problems that we face is because we are afraid of death. If this fear of death is gone, you will be able to clearly see what is reality and what is not. As long as you are afraid of death, you cannot see what the reality of this world is. The companions and the friends and the family of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the reality of this world. How were they able to see the reality of this world? They were not afraid of death. There were four things that are the major characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we will try to discuss today and tomorrow. The four things we will mention first, and then we will try to go into a little bit of detail. The first characteristic, which is the most important that followers of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, was an intense, burning love for Imam Hussain. With me? You're going to try to remember these four things. The first one was, it reminded me of remembering, tomorrow is probably the last majlis. So tomorrow after the majlis we will have our brothers, young brothers, recite Surah Al-Asr. And whoever recites the best, we promised you to give you $50, not 20, 50. Salaam alaikum. The first thing, the sisters as well. The first thing that one of the major characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, since that was the topic, was that they had an intense, burning love for Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Second was that they knew that they are going to have a blessed place forever. They knew that they are going to be successful after the battlefield of Karbala. They knew that they are going to go to heaven. They knew that they will achieve success after the battlefield of Karbala is done. Yani, they had a strong belief on the hereafter. They did not consider themselves as mortals, but they considered themselves as immortal. Two. Third, they had a scale, which was the personality of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for someone who is mu'min and someone who is munafiq. Someone who is a believer and someone who is a hypocrite. Their mizan, their scale was the personality of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If someone truly loved Imam Hussain, they knew that this person is a mu'min. If someone stayed away from Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, knew that they were a munafiq, they were a hypocrite. Fourth thing, which was the major characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was that they were the enemies of the enemy of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With me? If you go through all of the history books, if you go through the books that have defined the event of Karbala, even though starting even from Medina to Mecca and all the way to Karbala, if you look through all of that, you will see that all of the people in Medina, in Mecca, and the people in Kufa, and the people in Sham, out of all of those people, these were the four major characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was not present in the people of Medina who left Imam Hussain. They were not present in the people of Mecca who left Imam Hussain. They were not present in the people of Kufa who left Imam Hussain. One, what was it? Intense, burning love for Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Two, they knew that they're going to have a good hereafter. They knew that they're immortal, they're not mortal, they're going to have a place in heaven. They're going to be close to the Holy Prophet, they will be close to the Awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew that they were going to be happy. Two, third, they had a scale for measuring mu'min and munafiq, and that scale was the personality of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fourth, they were the enemies of the enemies of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These were the four characteristics that were present in all of the companions of Imam Hussain, which segregated, which made them unique from all of the Muslims that lived at that time. Why did people say to Imam Hussain, don't go from Medina? What did they say? When they knew that when Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leaves from Medina, he will be martyred. These individuals who have called him from Kufa, they cannot be so much trusted. That Yazid is a person who is, you can expect anything from him, any atrocity you can expect from him. If these people had these four characteristics, they would have never left Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They came, they advised Imam Hussain, just stay in Medina. Well, if you have taken the enemy of Imam Hussain as your enemy, why are you asking him to stay in Medina? If you have intense and burning love for Imam Hussain, when he is saying that, let's go, why are you saying, I'm not going to go? If you think of yourself as immortal, then why stay in Medina when if Shahadat is going to be there, you know that you have to cross this bridge, cross this door, to be able to get to that place of happiness? Why not go? Everyone's going to die. If you have the personality of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the scale for mu'min and munafiq, when Imam Hussain is there and he is going towards Karbala, his personality in itself would tell you, whoever goes with him is a mu'min, and whoever stays would be in doubt. Four characteristics. Number one, you see, I don't know how to do speech. Like the sisters, they did a wonderful speech. I don't know how to do speech. What we try to do is tabligh. Tabligh means that someone who is Rabbani, someone who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or trying to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the individuals who are also trying to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are already close to to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very big difference. For speech there are contests, for tabligh there is no contest. There's no contest for tabligh. In your audience you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listening to you, seeing you, you have I'm alayhi salam seeing you, hearing you, you have all of this pressure. Then in front of these audience that you are in front, you have to say what is the truth, you have to follow their rules and principles. You cannot go away from their rules and principles. And you don't have angels coming down and talking to you, you do not have ilm al-ghayb, you don't have ilm al-laduni, you are not masoom, you can make mistakes, you do not have revelations coming, but you have to sit down and deliver a message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those people who were infallible, who were the closest beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had angels come down and talk to them, who had revelations come down and speak to them. In hadith we find that the muballigh, when he gets off the minbar, the step that he takes off the minbar is either in heaven or in hell. I have a responsibility and I have to do that. I see you as my audience, but there are so many other audience. There are angels, there are masumin and masum, there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And I'm in front of all of them and I need to do my responsibility, which is very difficult. So I need you to know these four things. We'll try again. The first thing, intense and burning love for Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Second, believe, a very strong conviction and belief that they are going to be in the hereafter, they will live forever and they will have a happy abode. Three, Imam Hussain's Atusam personality was their scale to tell a mu'min and a hypocrite. Four, yes, the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam were the enemies of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat by Muhammad. So if we can acquire these four characteristics inside of our character, we will be able to become the companions of the Hussain of the time who is coming. There were individuals who were doing worship all day, all night. There were individuals even at the time of Imam Ali who were fasting all day and in worship all night. These individuals did not have intense love for Imam Ali, neither they had Imam Ali's skill as to distinguish between mu'min and a kafir, neither they believed that they are going to have an abode in the hereafter, a happy abode if they were to follow the Imam of the time, and they did not consider the enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam as their enemies. For every single Imam, the companions lacked these four characteristics. And because they lacked these four characteristics, Imam Hussain alayhi salam said that the companions that I have, no one got. No one had the companions as the companions that I have. Right now, do we have people who worship day and night? We do. Do we have people who are in the state of being submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we see that people have memorized Quran? Do we see that people are going for Hajj? Do we see that people are going for Ziyarat? Do we see all of that? We do. But is there a possibility that all of these things also existed at the time of Imam Hussain? Well, the distinguishing factor for the companions of Imam Hussain were these four things. Were there people who had memorized Quran? in the army of Yazid. There were individuals who had memorized Quran. There were individuals who were praying. There were individuals who said that we are Muslims and we submit to the will of Allah. Why did they stood against Imam Hussein? Do you know what this intense burning love, what do I mean by that? This intense burning love that we're supposed to have for the 12th Imam means that no one that we have, that we say, that we love, we should love them more than the 12th Imam. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your uncles. Anyone that you say that I love you, their love should be less and the love of the 12th Imam should be higher. How higher? You should be able to sacrifice any one of them for the sake of the 12th Imam. The mother's love for the children was there, but the love of the children was not higher than the love of Imam Hussein sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bibi Zainab sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Oh Allah, please accept this sacrifice of mine in your way." When she heard the news of Hazrat Aula Muhammad, she went in Sijda and said, "Oh Allah, please accept this sacrifice of mine." And on the night she was mentioning to her sons that if you are alive and something happens to the Imam of the time, I will never forgive you. Is that intense burning love for the Imam of the time? It is. Yani the mother's love is less, the love for the Imam of the time is greater. Are we ready for that? Will you sacrifice? The thing is, we can't really know until we're tested. Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam was told to take your son and put him down, take a knife, put it on his neck, and sacrifice him for me. When did we find out that Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam faith and conviction was true? When he actually took his son, put him down, put a knife, and at that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the son into an animal. How would you know if you're willing to sacrifice your sons and daughters and your brothers and the sisters for the sake of the 12th Imam? You know what you will know? You will know maybe tomorrow. Maybe today. Maybe by tonight. You will know. How will you know when the 12th Imam comes and says, "I want your kids. I want everything that you have." Someone that you do not know, someone that you do not love, someone that you have heard of that he is supposed to come, someone who's supposed to be living for the last 1200 years, but you've never heard any whisper or anything from him. Someone that you are not familiar with, someone that his face you have not seen before, someone who you just have heard through mimbar or read in the books that he exists and he will come. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
You're ready for it, inshallah, that you are, and the purity inside of your heart is saying yes. But the impurities inside of the altars is saying, "I don't know. Wait, I don't know. I have a hard time sacrificing my wealth for the sake of Allah. I have a hard time sacrificing my time for the sake of Allah. I have a hard time sacrificing my ego for the sake of Allah. I have a hard time sacrificing my emotions for the sake of Allah. I have a hard time sacrificing my respect for the sake of Allah. I have a hard time sacrificing these things. How will I be able to sacrifice those individuals that I live for?" There was a person in Kashmir, he passed away. And they were doing talqeen to him, telling him what your God is and your book and so forth. And they said, when the Mawlana would come to the name of the 12th Imam, this person's dead body will stand up. Hard to believe. They tried again, would say the name of the 12th Imam, his body would get up. The Mawlana asked the individuals who were present at his funeral, they said, how did he live his life? They said that he slept under his pillow with a sword, and he lived his life as if the Imam is going to come any minute. And that is the way he lived. You can say that this individual will be the individual who will be raised by the 12th Imam when he comes. But someone who is waiting for this sign and that sign and this thing to happen and that thing to happen and this and this and this and this, and is saying inside of his heart that Imam is not coming anytime soon. Friday was today. How many of you slept to last night thinking that the 12th Imam would be there in the morning? If any one of you did, only that person can say aloud salawat. See, that's the mentality that we have. We want to get the reward without doing anything. And if we want heaven, we want heaven, neither we want to die. We want heaven, but we don't want to die. Neither we want to die, neither we want to do anything to be able to get heaven, but we want heaven. I mean, to be able to get to heaven, you have to cross the door of death. Who wants to die? If you say to someone, I pray for you that you die, they will say, are you okay? You should be saying, when death's name comes, you should be saying, Khuda na khasta. Khuda na khasta yani, which means that may God not will it. This is a surprise to you now. God has willed it. God has willed it, yani inshallah, God's will is that every single person will taste the taste of death. No matter how many times you say Khuda na khasta, His will doesn't change. The intense love that the companions of Imam Hussain al-Sattuslam had came about in their sentences. They said, Ya Imam, if we are brought into this world and we are cut into little pieces and then we are brought back again and we are cut into little pieces, even if this happens 70 times, even if it happens 1,000 times, we will not leave you. We leave our religion so easily. We leave our religion so easily. Someone says, when you come to work, you cannot wear this hijab on your head. If you want this job, you cannot wear hijab on your head. What will we do? We will take this hijab, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll take this hijab, put it in our closet, and then go to work. Someone says that you cannot pray at your job. What do? We leave our prayers. 1200 years is a test. In this test, whoever will pass is the one who will take all the hardships, but because of this intense love that they feel inside of their heart, they will not compromise anything on their religion. How many things have we compromised for the sake of this world? How many things? Make a list sometime. I compromise this law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this world. I compromise this one, 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 this one. And do you have intense love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, we don't. Imam's love would come into our hearts if we do something for him. What can you do for the 12th Imam? Do we have to wait until the Imam comes, or is there something we can do right now? What is Imam looking for? He's looking for that individual who will go into the oven for him. How are we going to be able to achieve that? By going into small ovens ourselves. If you don't, for example, if you keep the hijab on, you will have a little oven, which means that you will have to face some difficulties to get another job. If you obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will come across hardships that you have to go through. If you can continue going through those little ovens, you might come to the point where you will be ready to be put into a fire as big as the fire in which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was going to be put in. But this level of yaqeen and conviction, when will it come? This is a process that you have to go through yourself. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sees that there is a dead body of an animal on the shore. There are other animals that are eating this dead body. Says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, how are you going to raise these individuals on the Day of Judgment?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Do you not believe?" He said, "I believe. But I would like to increase the level of my belief." Do we feel the need to increase the level of our belief? He says, "I would like to increase the level of my belief." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Okay, take the four birds, cut them into little pieces, make them into mincemeat, put it in 10 different places, call upon them and they will come back to you." When these birds came back, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "I have increased in my faith." What is... Okay. Do we have belief?
Yeah.
We have belief?
Yeah.
Every belief, every yaqeen, every conviction has signs. What is yours? A person, a young man, the Prophet sees, he looks very fragile, he can't walk properly, his face is yellow, his eyes have gone inside black circles. The Prophet said, "How did you enter into the morning? How are you?" The young man replied, "I have entered into the morning with yaqeen, with conviction." The Prophet said that every conviction has signs. Can you tell me yours? The person replied that the conviction that I have inside of my heart does not let me eat during the day. I fast during the day and I'm up during the night. The Prophet said, "Say some more. Tell me some more signs." The person replied that this conviction that I have, it is as if I can hear the people in hell and as if I can hear the people in heaven. Prophet said, "Some more." The person said, "If you wish around the people that are around you, I could tell you who is in heaven and who is in hell." The Prophet said, "Okay. No more." He said to the Prophet, "Please pray for me that I get martyred." And he was martyred. He achieved that status. If somebody was to ask you, "How have you entered into the evening?" You say with conviction, Can if they were to ask you, what, tell me a sign of your conviction? Can you tell a sign that you are convinced about the hereafter? You're convinced that you're immortal. You're convinced that you will have a good upholder. Tell me a sign. What is your alamat? What is your sign of the belief that you have inside of your heart? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're convinced that there is heaven and hell. You're convinced that God is seeing you, hearing you. You're convinced that there is a prophet. You're convinced that there were imams. You're convinced that there was 124,000 prophets. And you're convinced that Quran is your holy book. What is your sign? How do I know that you're convinced? What in your actions can you show me that you are convinced? You see, we have gone so far. These individuals believed and were convinced that if they were to support the Imam of the time, they were convinced that they're going to have the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them in the hereafter. When they were convinced that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be bestowed upon them in the hereafter, they were not worried about any hardship. They were not worried about any single hardship that came across them. The companions of Imam Hussain took their bodies and put their bodies in front of Imam Hussain and took all the arrows. To protect Imam Hussain, they put their own bodies in front of him. They did not allow these arrows to go and touch Imam Hussain's body. Do you think that they did not feel the pain of those arrows in their chest? They did. But they were convinced that what they are going to have after this difficulty is over is the greatest thing that is possible. How convinced are we? Instead of protecting the 12th Imam from the arrows of this time, we throw the arrows on his heart. Ayatullah Dasgir Shirazi Rahmatullah Alayhi in Gunahani Kabira, in the beginning of that book, says that every single sin that we commit is an arrow at the heart of the 12th Imam. Every single sin that we commit is an arrow in the heart of the 12th Imam. On Friday today, he got a report of every single person that is present in this room and every single person who is present on this earth. Every single individual who calls himself or herself a Muslim or Shia, he got a report of every single individual. You're not willing to show what you've done before coming to this mosque to anyone, because you might be embarrassed. I might be embarrassed. If I was to ask if Fajr prayer was missed, can you put your hand up? You don't want to put your hand up because you will be embarrassed in front of others. Are we gone so numb that we don't care if we are embarrassed in front of the Imam of the time? Either we are not convinced that he gets a report, or we are not convinced that there is a God, or we are not convinced that there is a hereafter, or we are not convinced that there is prophethood, or we are not convinced that there is imamat, or we are not convinced that we will see our actions. Which one of them is it? Which one is it? If you say, I'm not convinced that there is a God, there's a big problem. If you say, I'm not convinced that there is no prophet, there's a big problem. If you say, I'm not convinced that there is imamah, there's a big problem. If you say that I'm not convinced that there is ma'ah, there's a big problem. That there is a day of judgment, there's a big problem. So what are we supposed to do? How are you going to have this intense burning love for the 12th Imam? Are you going to have it just the way that you're living? Or every single moment of your life you're going to become careful that I do not want to do anything to hurt the 12th Imam? You will live your life, every single moment of your life would be careful that you don't want to hurt the heart of the 12th Imam. You do not want to have him a report saying that you committed these sins. Do you think that the 12th Imam has forgotten you? You know, in the hadith it says that when you get sick, we get sick. When you are worried, we are worried. When you are happy, we are happy. When you say dua, we say ameen. When you pray to Allah, we say ameen. Do you think he's forgotten you? He hasn't forgotten. His love for you, his own words, his love for you is more intense than the love of that mother who's lost her child. The Imam of the time loves you more than that mother who has lost her child. We have been yatim for the last 1200 years. Humanity has lost its father for the last 1200 years. We're yatim. How does a yatim act? How does an orphan act? Is there any happiness in the life of this orphan? If the birthdays come, is the orphan happy? The orphan says, I wish my dad was here, so I could have celebrated my birthday with him. If the orphan gets married, the orphan says, I wish my dad was here to see me get married. If the orphan gets a job, he says, I wish my dad was here to see my job. If the orphan gets a child, he says, I wish my dad was here to see my child. We are orphans for the last 1200 years. Have we even felt this love inside of our hearts? And how many more years are we going to go like that? You know why Imam is not coming? It's because of us. The Imam of the time is in hiding because of us. He says that the Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he says,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. The companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam listened to his speech and their hearts changed. The azab of Imam Hussain is the place for inqilab. The azab of Imam Hussain is a place for inqilab. Inqilab means when the hearts change. Inqilab means when your heart becomes upside down. When you decide for yourself that now it is the time for change and you will not be in the state that you were there before. These individuals who did not want to join Imam Hussain listened to his khutbas and they were muntalib. They changed. They left their wives, they left their family members, they left everything, they joined Imam Hussain. Azab of Imam Hussain is a place for inqilab, is for hearts to change, is for emotions to get aroused and for it to change, to gain the knowledge, to become better. To have the conviction inside of your heart that there is a hereafter. The Imam of the time has not left us alone. He has told us that every single thing that you do, in every moment of your life, I'm with you. Try to test it. Hazrat Ibrahim al-Sassam wanted conviction to go higher. He wanted to have a test. Test it. Whatever difficulty that you have right now, with the bottom of your heart, with the sincerity of your heart, call upon Imam Zaman Satusam, call upon his name. Inside of your heart, call upon in his name, call him and say to him in your heart, that, Ya Imam, I need your help. Ask inside of your heart that, Ya Imam, I need your help. If you are going to say sincerely and ask for the 12th Imam's help, you will see that the help will come. Guaranteed. Inside of your soul, we have agreed that shaitan can give you a waswasa, shaitan can give you a suggestion. Are we agreed on that? If you're not agreed, don't ever blame anything on shaitan again. The kids, you ask them, why did you do this? Shaitan made me do it. You ask an adult, shaitan made me do it. If you accept that shaitan can talk to you, listen to this very carefully. If you accept and you are convinced that shaitan can talk to you, the hujjat of Khuda, the hujjat of Allah, the proof of Allah, the Khalifatullah, the representative of Allah, the being who is on this earth, then this universe is worthy of existence. Are you with me? Do you know why the sun exists? Do you know why the stars exist? Do you know why the planets exist? Because right now they're worthy of existence because of the existence of the 12th Imam. When the 12th Imam is no longer there, this universe is not even worthy of existence. Allah SWT will say, all of this creation that I've created, all of these galaxies, all of these worlds, all every single thing that I've created is not worthy of existence anymore because my hujjat is not on this earth. I will destroy everything. That being who has power over matter, who has the responsibility to implement the authority of Allah SWT on you and us, do you think he cannot talk to you? Do you think he cannot talk to you? Do you think he cannot put a thought in your mind? Do you think that he is unaware of your affairs? Do you think he doesn't know how many fights have happened in this center or all the centers that exist in North America? There's a center, people fought, police came, the Christian woman went inside of the center and said, police officer, said, you know, this is a place of worship. You guys should not fight. A Christian woman is giving Amr bin Maluf wa Nahy anil Munkar to the Shias of Imam Hussain Sattus. She is letting them know that this place that you're in is Muqaddas, is honorable, is respectable, is a place of worship. Should not fight. Do you think that the 12th Imam does not know what exists in your lives, in your affairs? He knows. He knows what your worries are. And he defends you. And he guides you. If he defends you, come to Jamkaran. I was given a bit more time this time. So, I stole an hour and 15 minutes because they said that yesterday you were left thirsty. Even if we were to speak for 10 days, 20 days or 20 years, if the person is successful, your thirst should increase. If your thirst is ever quenched, that means the person who sat here was unsuccessful. This place is to have your thirst. This place is to have people woken up. This place is for people to get thirsty. Not for them to be quenched. For them to get thirsty. Come to Jamkaran. There's a taxi route that goes. This person, the taxi driver, took some of the people from home from the Haram of Bibi Masuma to Jankaran. The people got out of the taxi. There was a Maulana there. The Maulana slammed the door of the taxi. Now, if you go to anywhere in the Middle East, do not slam the door of a taxi. It's considered to be not a very good thing. So the door of the taxi was slammed, and the taxi driver, he started saying unreasonable things about the Maulana, as some of the people do. Right? I don't know if it happens in Calgary, it happens in Toronto. And in some things like Wahhabi Shia. In the northern areas, when there is like today, right now it's very cold, they will say, when something is intense, they will say kafir. So they will say that today, aaj kafir sardi bar rahi hai. Today, there is kafir thand, yani today there is kafir cold. When the chai is very good and it's intense, this is kafir chai. Right? And when a Muslim is a very good Muslim, they say this is a kafir. This is a kafir Muslim. These two don't come together. Just like that, Wahhabi Shia doesn't come together. Either you are a Wahhabi or you are Shia. You can't have both. If you say Wahhabi Shia, it is just like saying kafir Muslim. If you're going to insult somebody, at least pick the right insult. Because by not picking the right insult, you're just insulting. So anyways, the person left and the taxi driver was upset. He says that a man came, gave me 200 tumans, and said, here is the money to fix your door. Do not say bad things about my soldier. Do not say bad things about my soldier. Take this money. Do not say bad things about my soldier. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our little brother. Said that, gave me the money and left. You see how intense Imam's eye is? This Mawlana, his izzat, his honor was so dear that he either sends someone or himself comes and gives money and says to the person, do not say bad words for my soldier. What he would say to that person who says bad things for a marja? La ilaha illallah. What would he say to that person? Imam is not unaware of the things that goes around us. He knows every single thing that is there. Intense love. Have in your inside of your hearts, get up in the morning, before you say salam to your parents, say assalamu alayka ya sahib al-sayyid. First thing, try from today. When your eyes open, assalamu alayka ya sahib al-sayyid al-zaman. And if your eyes have opened after Fajr, this salam that you will give to your 12th Imam will bound you to make sure that you get up for Fajr. You want to know how not to miss Fajr? Whenever your eyes woke up, whenever your eyes open up, say assalamu alayka ya Imam al-Zaman, assalamu alayka ya Imam al-Insi wal-Jan, assalamu alayka ya Baqiyatullah. Say that. And if your eyes have opened after the sunrise, I bet you anything, this salam that you've given to the 12th Imam will bound you, will make you majboor, would make you bound to make sure that you send your salam before Fajr. Because once you have said salam, he says, wa alaykum as-salam. But what this wa alaykum as-salam, there is a question, why did you miss your Fajr? There was a brother who asked me, he said that, Mawlana, and bear with me, I only have 10 or 15 more minutes, just bear with me and we will be done. He said, Mawlana, I have a very difficult time. First of all, those brothers of mine that might get offended because, you see, there is a bigger philosophy behind having this. And there's a bigger philosophy of having hijab for our sisters. If we get a chance, we will go through it. If we don't get a chance, we might not be able to go through it. But let me just touch upon it and we go forward. He said, then, Mawlana, I have a very difficult time keeping this. I said, okay, you take a razor and when you stop shaving, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qurbatan ilallah. He thought for a little while. First he was a little bit happy that, okay, Mawlana has told me something that I can do, Qurbatan ilallah, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he stopped and he said, my razor will not move. If I say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qurbatan ilallah, my razor will not move. You see, when this comes, it's a sign of maturity. Every time I look in the mirror and I see all of these white hairs, guess what these white hairs are telling me? These white hairs are telling me that, oh Hassan, you're not young anymore. These white hairs are telling me, oh Hassan, you are halfway in your grave. These white hairs are telling me, oh Hassan, you've come to this stage where maybe you can develop heart disease, cancer, all of sugar, diabetes, all of that. It's telling me that, oh Hassan, all of these white hairs that you have, don't waste your time. You don't have enough time left in this world. But if I was to remove them, who will talk to me? Nobody will talk to me. Only when these are there, they will talk to me. And they will keep on reminding me. And if someone actually does that, this helps them to become closer to Allah. Salawat alayhi Muhammad. So intense love for the 12th Imam has to be developed inside of us. It will not just come. It has to be developed. How many hearts do you have?
One.
How many people want your love? Millions. That's it. Yani, I've given this example before, I'll give it and then we will go through. If I was to say to my wife, I love you 95%. I love you, but 95%. She will say, whoever you love 5%, you go to that person. If I was to say to my son, son, I love you 90%. He will say, Baba, who's this 10% that you love? Yani, if I was to say to my mother, Ammi, I love you, my son, 98%. And she would say, 2% you love your wife? Is it that you love her? Yani, every single person that you are going to say, I love you, will not accept but 100% of the heart. And how many hearts you have? One. How many people want it? Many. So what are you supposed to do? What you do is this. You give your heart to Allah. And everyone who wants your heart will think that you're giving them 100%. If you give your heart to Allah, every single person that you will say that I love you will think, will know that you love them 100%. Is there a possibility that we can love Imam 98%? Is there a possibility we can love Imam 95%? Is there a possibility we can love Imam 94%? No. Imam wants 100%. And the only way he will know that you are loving him 100% is if you've given your heart to Allah. If you've given your heart to Allah, then Imam will know you love him 100%, and at that time you would have achieved the first portion of the characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain Salatu Wassalam. Salawat wa
rahmatullah.
For the masaiq of Imam Hussain, crying and emotion is a very big factor. We are told that you need to make your heart saddened. You need to even pretend to cry if you can't cry. You need to bring about this sort of feeling inside of your heart as if you've lost something. This love that you have inside for Imam Hussain Satsang should become so intense that your heart should break and the tears should flow. Why? Because this heart, when it gets to that state, really for the sake of Allah, really for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it gets into that state, you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your heart has become soft and knowing the purpose and the cause of Imam Hussain and knowing Imam Hussain and trying to follow the wajibat and staying away from the muharramat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your heart gets into that state, you are the closest towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a person by the name of Ibrahim. He had a very bad tongue. Very bad tongue. And he used to hurt other people. He was present in the majlis, and the people who saw him said, "This person who is in this majlis is known for bad tongue. Let's tell him to go out. He might create some problems." Nobody wanted to go, but one person took the initiative to go to this person and say that, "You know, Ibrahim, please, can you just leave the majlis?" Ibrahim wanted to say some things to him, but he decided not to say, because even though his tongue hurt other individuals, but he had respect for the majlis of Imam Hussain. He was known for a tongue that hurt people. He was known as a really bad person, but he had respect for the azaf of Imam Hussain. He didn't say a word, he went home. Once he was home, after a little while, the same person knocked on his door and said, "Ibrahim, I'm really sorry." He said, "Why are you sorry?" He said, "When you left, I was in the azaf of Imam Hussain. I fell asleep in my dream. I saw that I was in Sham-e Ghareeba. There were tents of Imam Hussain, and I saw you, the body of yours was of a dog, but the face was yours. And you were protecting those tents. And this man replied, "If this was the case, it is an honor for me. It is an honor for me that I was in that state, protecting the tents of Imam Hussain." From that day onwards, he decided that he will become the slave of Allah. He will not commit any disobedience of Allah. That if that Hussain, whom just out of the love that I had and respect that I had for the azaw of Imam Hussain, can give me that status that I am present in Karbala protecting the tents, I will never disobey. And when he died in his janazah, there were bibis. Bibi Zainab participated in the janazah of this man. The status of those individuals who come to the azaw of Imam Hussain and their hearts break and the tears flow is very high. With the condition that they will in their heart agree and say to Allah that today is the day I will change. How can we not change when we hear that in Sham there was a little daughter of Imam Hussain who kept going on the door of this zindan, of this prison, and waiting and calling upon every individual who went through. I had that scenario. That scenario is not enough for our hearts to decide that we're going to change today. in that prison which is said that did not have a roof? That prison where the family of the Holy Prophet stayed for 1 year? Can you even imagine staying for 1 day in a place like that? Can you ever imagine to being in a prison like that even for 1 day? 1 year, 365 days. And this little baby Zagina, whenever she would try to sleep, you know, how is she supposed to sleep on a cold floor in a dark prison? Especially when she has seen what happened in Karbala. In her memory is the severed head of Imam Hussein. In her memory, when she closes her eyes, what shall she see? What is she going to see? What kind of dreams is she going to see? What is she going to see? She's going to see the severed head of her uncle on a spear. Hazrat Abbas. She would close her eyes and remember Ali Asghar. You know, sisters, they love their brothers. Their love for their brothers is very intense, especially the sisters who have young brothers like Ali Asghar. She used to love her a lot. She remembered Ali Asghar every time she drank water. So she would close her eyes, what she would see the horrors of Karbala. And these horrors of Karbala did not let her sleep. You know, the coldness on the floor of this prison would keep her awake. Because she was used to the warmth of the chest of her father. She was used to that. She wasn't used to the cold floor of a prison. When she would look at her clothes, some part of her clothes were burned. And every time she would look at that part, she would remember it was Shami Ghariba. My clothes got burned. She would look at the dirt, she would look at the stains of blood. That her dress got stained by the blood of her father when she went and tried to find her father in Sham-e Ghareeba. And she couldn't find her father. She kept calling for him. And there was a body who did not have a head, whose chest was fluffed by the hoofs of horses. And this body called her. And she went and lied on it. The clothes were stained by that body's blood. All of a sudden, this little daughter of Imam Hussein, who could not sleep, she fell asleep for a little while. When she fell asleep for a little while, she got up with a smile on her face and tears flowing off her eyes. Now, Bibi Sakina, did you see the horrors of Karbala? Did you see the sand of Karbala? Did you see the bazaars of Kufa and Sham? No, Bibi Sakina saw her father. Her father in a state that she used to remember. And her father said, "Oh my daughter, you know, soon you're going to come to me. A daughter who sees her father after a year, after 1 year of the body, she remembers of the face that she remembered, whose face, whose head was not on a spear. My daughter, are you going to soon come to me?" And Bibi Zagina runs. Auntie Zainab, do you know what I saw? I saw that my dad is saying, "Soon, Zagina, you're going to come and see me." As soon as she said, "Dad," the other little kids started to cry. They also started to remember.
their daughter. All the babies in the prison started to cry. Imam Sajjad al-Islam now is with us. What can he do? Sakina is saying she's going to meet the father. What can he do? His hands are tied. He's in the prison. What can he do? The door opens. There is a platter that is coming. I try to imagine now. In a cold, dark prison, the door opens. There's a platter coming. It has a cloth on top of that platter. There is something inside that platter. All the babies, they come together. They start looking at that person walking in with the platter. The kids are looking at that platter. And this person comes and puts this platter in front of the feet of Bibi Sakina. I wonder what's in it. I wonder what's in it. Bibi Sakina takes the cloth off. What does she see? She sees the severed head of her father. Imagine this sight. The daughter sees the severed head of her father. She decides to sit down. How could she stand? How can anyone stand when they see the severed head of their father? She decides to sit down. In her lap, she takes the severed head of her father. She puts it in her lap. And the tears are flowing from her eyes, falling on the head of Imam Hussein. She's looking at the father, saying, Baba, do you know what they did to us? Do you know what happened to us? Imam Sajjad is looking at her. What can he do? What can he do? What can Bibi Zainab do? Nothing. No, this is what she did. This is what she could do. She grabbed the severed head of her father, lifted it up. Now it's on the same level as her face. A 3-6-year-old daughter has this. She takes the severed head of her father, puts it close to her cheeks. The cheeks of the daughter and the severed head of her father are joined together. The cheeks of her father's head are cold. The cheeks of the daughter are warm, but it's not too long now. Not too long, Bibi Sakina, soon you will see your dad. And the cheeks of the daughter are cold too. Curse those enemies who comforted that orphan this way. Curse those enemies who comforted this orphan called Sakina this way. Allah, give us the ability to have intense love for the 12th Imam. Give us the ability to stand together. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعلى العصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا
have a slight delay. I'll end 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes. I was originally intended because these are weekends.